Hello, I'm Renee Vaughan Sutherland, and welcome to Greater Than 11%. If this is the first time you're tuning in, a quick overview. This podcast is all about creative roles and opportunities, and born out of the statistic I heard at the Creative Equals Create Your Future event in May 2018, which was that only 11% of women are creative directors within the media industry. As an artist and creative director myself, I felt compelled to take action to do something that pushes that percentage a lot higher. It occurred to me when thinking about what that action could be, is that there's a lot of careers that I have absolutely no idea what they are and what skills they require. So the possibility to inhabit or inspire to have those roles can never eventuate. And that is even before entering the battleground of opportunity. As I'm super interested in how others shape their creativity, I'll be chatting to a range of women over the series, exploring their careers and their creative lives, in the aim to expand the knowledge of the vast number of options available for pursuing a creative career, in addition to shedding some light on what others do. Welcome to episode 6. This week I'm joined by Rena Chung, a senior designer at a hub where we both work. Rena has had a career in graphic design for a number of years, in many industries, including fashion, music, film, the arts, and media. Her skills extend to designing for print, online, and film. But to say she only works in graphic design would do her a gross disservice. Rena has worked in art departments for feature films. She produces both video and photo shoots. She's an accomplished violinist and plays in an orchestra. She also sings in a choir. She makes ludicrously ornate cakes. And she crochets unicorns. I'll let that sink in. She crochets unicorns. She is one of the few people that can completely floor me, if not make me slightly anxious with her very surreal sense of humour. She is passionate about creativity and always goes way beyond to deliver exceptional design. On a daily basis, she is someone whose opinions and talents I rely heavily on. Rena, welcome to Greater Than 11%.
Wow, what an honour. You know, it's quite an intro.
Well, it's all true.
Yes.
Especially the bit about crocheting unicorns.
Can I just say that the crocheting unicorns, the plural, it, at the moment is still singular because I'm still working through that pattern. But
I
have
soon to be
crocheting.
Available on Amazon. Place your orders now. All right. Well, shall we kick off with you telling me about what your role as a senior designer encompasses and how it fits in the media industry?
Okay. So as a senior designer, often I need to help with pitches. A lot of concepts will come through either from clients or from our internal team. And sometimes, apart from just words, we need to put some visualization in. So that's where I come in. So sometimes it could be just simply from researching images, it could be looking at different types of video treatments, or just doing a combination of both and then creating some new concepts for our team. So,
and when you say creating new concepts, kind of what shape or form, so how would you describe what they look like?
So sometimes it could be anything from like branding, so from 2D graphics, mm-hmm. to potentially a 3D graphics, even though I don't personally do 3D, mm-hmm. but I have a concept of how I would like it to look like, and then I will then brief the rest of the team who can do 3D and collaborate together to make this visualization work. Sometimes it could be a storyboard, so maybe something that in my head I already see moving. And again, I'm no animator, mm-hmm. but, you know, producing enough animations in my time that I think, you know, I can let the animator know again, you know, this is something I've got in mind. Can you maybe give it a try and experiment a little bit?
And what about design work as well, like for online and creating things for that? How does that work?
You mean like websites?
Yep. And stuff like that? And okay. Artwork for websites?
That is a very interesting question because, I've never been that way inclined because, as your intro said, you know, I'm coming from a print-based background. So a lot of it is originated from there. So from how the texts are laid out, to the typography, the spacing of the page is very much influenced from by print.
Mm-hmm.
But then equally with the interactive elements within the website, it sort of influenced a bit from the knowledge that I gained from working with animators.
Mm-hmm.
And also being able to imagine how the page is turned and how the information is being projected on the page.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So you studied graphic information design.
Yeah.
Can you maybe talk through what that means and an overview of your journey from finishing that degree until now? Kind of, you know, quick overview.
Okay. So I never wanted to do graphic design. however, coming from Hong Kong as a foreign student at the age of 14, my parents were a bit disappointed, to say the least, that I didn't pursue your usual academic career path. So when I, as my parents would say, that I indulged myself in the foundation course at the Camberwell College of Arts, which I absolutely adored and loved, they said, well, I don't want you to grow and become a poor artist, especially how much money that we have already poured in your education. So my mother took charge and said, well, you have to do with something, anything practical, you know, with a computer. So we compromised with a graphic design course.
Mm-hmm.
And the year when I started this course in University of Westminster, that's the first year they run the graphic information design course. And what it is basically a graphic design course that is moving along with technology,
mm-hmm.
and how we can make the design more relevant than just something that looks pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways it's designing with a purpose rather than just for the sake of it. To be fair, it was a bit experimental. Some elements of the course at the time, I mean, the tutors are lovely, mm-hmm. I got on well with them, but some elements of the course could be better. But then again, it was the first year they mm-hmm. ever run it. I wouldn't say I was as practical as the boys. There were about 30 of us, I think, and I think the ratio was about 8 female students to 22 male mm-hmm. students. And the guys always are a bit more intuitive with computer softwares. So quite a few of them are already pushing the boundaries, you know, gone on to doing more 3D elements of graphic designs. Mm-hmm. Some are definitely more hot on coding. So again, they're already experimenting on the website online platforms. Mm-hmm. Whereas I was always very print-based because I like making things.
Mm-hmm.
I like the smell of paper, I like the smell of the ink, you know. So a lot of my designs perhaps is a bit flat, but it still projects a certain message, if mm-hmm. you like,
mm-hmm.
Visually strong to share the information. From university, that's when I met my then boyfriend, now husband,
mm-hmm.
Jason. And he was a freelance designer. So I think I was very lucky in a way that I sort of fell into a job. Mm. And we started working together. It's not advisable normally in a relationship.
Especially not early on.
No, especially not early on, no. But I was working as his assistant, so I would be picking up any jobs that he doesn't want to do, or he's too busy to be uber creative doing something else. And at the time, he was working within the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
So we were doing a lot of album covers, and we were working closely with the marketing department within record labels.
Mm-hmm.
So anything to do with promoting the record, so adverts, posters, leaflets, you name it, mm-hmm. you know, anything that is print-based, we're there.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, I actually learn a lot,
mm-hmm.
Especially back in the days when you send something to print, it's not just sending a PDF and it doesn't go straight to the print, go to the printer. You are sending the printer, as in the company, your file, and then they have to generate these things called films. And then through the films, you then send it through the printer and so on and so forth. So the process was a lot longer, but then you kind of appreciate the art of it a lot more.
Mm.
And your job makes you to become a lot more precise in what you do,
mm-hmm.
because it has to be right, because otherwise you're spending hundreds of pounds on the films and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So
so I should say and point out that you've just celebrated 20 years anniversary with you and Jason, so...
Yeah. Yes.
Whilst it might not have been ideal, something clearly worked.
Yeah, well...
And then I guess from that, so I know that you then went on and you worked quite a lot in fashion as well.
So I think backtrack a little bit before the fashion thing happened. So I continue working in print,
mm-hmm.
because then I think that was the time when Jason wanted to experiment with website mm-hmm. designs. So I sort of pick up all the print jobs from him. So by now I'm actually leading on some of the print jobs. And then as luck would have it, I got... approached by Serpentine Gallery,
mm-hmm.
and at the time they had, as all galleries do, they have some resident artists there, and these two artists, they have this magazine called Art Fan,
mm-hmm.
and it's they're quite big in New York at the time, and they were running workshops within Serpentine Gallery, and they needed someone to create something for them. So what's interesting about that job is it's not a straightforward brochure design, that sort of thing. And I really have to collaborate with someone who is equally, if not more, creative.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to create a cover for them that would reflect what they do. So after thinking long and hard and looking at their artwork that produced,
mm-hmm.
What I did was I took one of their the photographs from one of their workshops, and then somehow I turned it into an illustration that is in the style of their painting,
mm-hmm.
and along with the typography that is going on the front cover as well, again, is something that will reflect their style. And lo and behold, they absolutely loved it. And the project went really smoothly, and we even went over to New York for the launch.
Awesome.
So that was really exciting. And but through that piece of artwork,
mm-hmm.
I then got headhunted by a fashion manufacturer,
mm-hmm.
Because the creative director over there, I think someone recommended me to them,
mm-hmm.
and one of the piece of artwork that was sent over was the Art Fan artwork. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, what you did there has some reflection on textile design. So, mm-hmm. you know, I really like to see you. And I've never worked in fashion before, mm-hmm. even though I was quite good with needlework
mm-hmm.
At school. But having said that, the knowledge that I gained from printing,
mm-hmm.
the whole printing process, are very similar to how garments are made.
Mm-hmm.
So especially when you have graphics being printed on clothings. But I think at the time with the trend of fashion, it wasn't just straight up printing. It was printing, embroidery, beading work, the lot. Mm-hmm. You know, any techniques that you can think of is being thrown on one garment, yep. because that was the trend.
Mm-hmm.
So my background with print really help, because that makes the factory process a lot easier,
mm-hmm.
because then I design them accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, so I somehow ended up in fashion for nearly on and off for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's funny how things connect and, like, lead on to one thing, you know, to another.
Yeah.
It's just by creating and kind of really creating good work.
Yeah.
That kind of happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've worked in, like, loads of different industries. So what skills do you need to be an awesome graphic designer?
It's a given that you need to have a good knowledge of your Adobe Suite programs, because, you know, that is just industry standards.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say an open mind,
mm-hmm.
and a great sense of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what kept me going is that I'm always curious to see how things are made,
mm-hmm.
how things work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need to put in a lot of hard work, mm-hmm. and a lot of patience, and also keep learning. Not just within the industry, but get inspiration from outside the industry as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's quite important too.
Okay. So can you talk about key roles? I know you mentioned it slightly earlier in the interview, but key roles you typically work with, and then how you approach briefs. Kind of what's the process?
The typical process would be we may get a brief from the client, and often I like to have a good understanding of what the clients do.
Mm-hmm.
And I always believe that if we are going to create something for them to show, whether it's for a selling tool or something about them,
mm-hmm.
it needs to be quite tailored-made.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to have a good understanding and a background of them. And that could be through reading about them or looking at their branding guideline, because I think often you will get a good sense of personality,
mm-hmm.
from the visual language they already use as well.
Mm-hmm. Can I just maybe ask, what is a branding guideline, if someone doesn't know what that is?
Okay. So a branding guideline usually is a document that contains information about your client's logos, the fonts that they use, the colours,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of do's and don'ts of how they don't want their, or how they want and don't want their brands to be perceived,
mm-hmm.
Particularly either on print. So, for example, they may not want their colourful logo to be put on the colourful photographs.
Mm-hmm.
They rather to have it as a white logo to be on the colourful photographs,
mm-hmm.
or minimum size and so on and so forth.
So you go through the branding guidelines,
yeah.
and then what's the process in terms of then kind of who you're working with and kind of pulling together an idea?
So then I would work closely with the creative director,
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the producers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would listen to what they need to achieve. And then I will try to break it down for them and see what I can do to help to make the process better.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say break it down a bit, so in my mind, I'll be like, okay, so you need to produce this. For example, you need to produce this video. So what kind of graphics would you like?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need me to create a new logo for them, or do you need a lower third?
Mm-hmm.
Title sequence?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you got anything in mind?
Mm-hmm.
So anything that I can get more information out of the team,
mm-hmm.
the easier it is for me to then dive in and create what I need to do. Sometimes it could be just a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So they may come to me with a document of concepts, and then I need to make the concept look great and believable. And this is actually quite hard sometimes, mm-hmm. because what one's idea of a good image to use to go with a document may not be the right one.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think a lot of empathy as well in the design skills help, because you need to have that, you need to be able to empathize what the potential audience, i.e. your client, might feel when they see it,
mm-hmm.
To create that wow factor so that they will remember you every time when they look at the deck.
Mm-hmm.
So,
cool. Okay. So for me, knowing you quite well, creativity is a constant in your life. So when you aren't designing, you're singing in the choir or playing in the orchestra, making cakes, crocheting, doing needlework, and you're extremely proactive in supporting your husband, Jason, in his many creative endeavours, and there's many. And in addition to that, you support your daughter, Rosie, to find her creative feet. So what is the relationship between your design work and everything else? How does that play out? Do they inform each other, or is there clear separations in what you do?
That's a really good question, because I think most creatives would find that by hook or by crook, sometimes, you know, even in their spare time, they would end up doing something creative. But it doesn't have to be necessarily to do with the arts or what the industry that they're in. You can say DIY is creative, you know, doing some gardening or building a shed or whatever, you know. But I think for me, fundamentally, is that sort of urge of I need to make things. My mind just doesn't stop. And I constantly need that problem-solving thing in the background. So things like, you know, crocheting a unicorn. Mm-hmm. I never know how to crochet before. I'm a good knitter, but I can't crochet. So I learn how to crochet just so that I can crochet a unicorn for my daughter on her request. But, you know, things like that involves a lot of, you know, problem-solving skills. But it's also, it's a bit of a therapy as well, because when you are able to block out everything around you and then just concentrate on this one thing, it's a kind of practical mindfulness, if you like, and you feel really good about it, even though, yes, I might get something wrong or the cake doesn't rise, but still, it's the process of doing it kind of keeps you calm and balance, and somehow a lot of these practical skills comes to play, especially when things like I do on set, you know, because apparently as a part of the art department, you don't just do things that print out, you have to be hands on deck. So, you know, then all these little practical skills that you learn from different things that you do in life that comes in very handy.
And I'm curious about music, because I'm not musical in any shape or form, so I'm always really drawn to people that can play music and sing, and you do both of those. And thinking about design and the way design comes together and the thought process around that, how does music, because especially when we're working on moving image, obviously there's pace and beat and rhythm, which is obviously key in music and singing. Do those two things have a very direct relationship?
Yeah, I would say so. I think with music for me, it's a very strong way to express my feelings, and that's sort of expressing my feelings through sound. But equally with design, the weight of the font, how you position the image, the colour that you use, again, is a sense of expression of what kind of message you want to convey to your audience. So, you know, even down to a stroke, do you want it to be heavy? Do you want it to be light? And why is it going to be there? I mean, sometimes, yes, it looks like, you know, when you watch me work, sometimes it's just like throwing everything on the screen and see what sticks. But there is sort of... what do you say? Is there some kind of a method in madness or something like that? It's all to part of it is that sort of expression of message. So I think, I think that's where I see the link between the music and the work that I do.
So one thing I wanted to talk about was technology, because I think technology has pushed how the process of design is approached, specifically in this case, graphic design. So how do you stay up to date and fresh with new ideas, keeping on top of new software and also hardware?
Okay, so to state the obvious, just keep looking. Just keep your eyes out, your ears peeled. Anything that you know, you see out either in exhibition galleries, even like, you know, events and talks, that all helps. But one thing that I came across recently, I went to an event by Creative Social, and they were promoting their book called Creative Superpowers. And one of the things that they talk about is one of the powers that we have is we could be a teacher. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why I mention that is I actually find myself surrounding by a lot of young creatives now.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they may not have the same life experience as I have, but they are my young teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that because they are a lot more in tune with technologies. I mean, even with my daughter, mm-hmm. you know, she's helping me with like things like social media.
Mm-hmm.
Snapchat, so I still can't work it. But no, I try as hard as I can, you know. But you know,
can I just interrupt? Do you need Snapchat?
No, I don't. I don't. But I just want to, you know,
yeah.
keep up to date.
Keep up to date. Yeah, it is important. Yeah.
But you know, it's by talking to the younger generations, as well as just you know, learning from them. Don't be afraid. You know. You'll be surprised how eager they are to help you mm-hmm. if you need some help,
mm-hmm.
and you know from my point of view is you know as long as I can gain extra knowledge mm-hmm. you know it's a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
So
I really agree with that. I think a lot of people as we age, and you and I are slightly older age, let's say than the younger generation, and I would say that like. I think sometimes people get really nervous that, you know, they're going to be trumped or taken over yeah. or whatever. And I've really learned that it's a two-way process. You know, I've got skills that I can share, but I definitely love learning.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to give a shout out to our producer, Pat, recording this podcast, because he's awesome and he teaches us, or me specifically, loads of stuff. So I love that. Mm. Superpower, what's the book called? Superpowers?
I think it's called Creative Superpowers.
Okay, so it's worth taking a look.
Yeah.
Cool, okay. So what has been one of the biggest challenges in your career?
The biggest challenges in my career, I would say, is taking a career break. It's a personal choice. I decided that I need to step away from fashion because I was heavily pregnant. Then, just the last day of work, I left work at 9:30 in the evening
mm-hmm.
and having to drive an hour to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day I end up in hospital. And so that was a bit of a wake-up call saying that even though I love it,
mm-hmm.
I need to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, by taking a break, a career break mm-hmm. as a designer,
mm-hmm.
It's not so much of not knowing how to design anymore, because it's like riding a bike. Once you know how to do it, it takes some time, but it's easy. You mm-hmm. know, once you get back into it. But it's all the networking that I've built up through the years.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment is like, I'm too big to get in the bar. Mm-hmm. That's it. So it's that for me is a bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm. But it's a challenge you overcame.
Gradually, gradually.
So you kind of alluded to this before, but can you talk about how you nurture your design work? Where do you go and look for inspiration?
I think with the world of internet, it's it makes life a lot easier. So, looking at different websites, Nowness is really good. Mm. You got me into that.
I love Nowness.
Pinterest is also quite good as well, because you get a lot of... vintage stuff that comes back
mm-hmm.
And just like fashion, and I think with design as well, you know, it's a lot to influenced by the things that's been done past
mm-hmm.
but equally when you come back with a new look mm-hmm. if you like it does work, so that helps a lot too. But I think just get out more, exhibitions, galleries,
mm-hmm.
Traveling, I love traveling,
mm-hmm.
And it can be from anywhere, you know, mm-hmm. from like, you know, homeware to print and arts,
mm-hmm.
all sorts.
Okay, cool. So is there a role or an ambition beyond senior designer that you're aiming for?
I'd like to have my own team, so that would sort of I don't know what will be the next step up, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But that would be my ideal would be having, you know, a bigger team mm-hmm. to work with, mm-hmm. So we can do more creative stuff. Mm-hmm. On a slightly off-piste ambition would be I quite like to learn the cello.
Oh, wow.
So that would be my my next thing.
And how is that in terms of transitioning? Because you've obviously learned some techniques of violin. Is it like completely two different languages, or is it something that would having the violin knowledge help?
I think having the violin knowledge helps,
yeah.
But is the score that mm-hmm. would read slightly differently.
Wow.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Cool.
We'll see.
Okay, so what's coming up for you creatively in the next few months?
We'll be launching our website soon, the Hub website, mm-hmm. which I'm quite excited about. Because me and the rest of the team have been working on this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Continuing the leadership course that I'm on with Creative Equals. Mm-hmm. So that's a leadership course for mostly female creatives. Mm-hmm. And it's very intriguing to find like-minded people mm-hmm. of similar situation in some ways, even though we might come from different industries, mm-hmm. and being able to sit together and learn. Mm-hmm. So that's quite nice. Mm-hmm. I've got two concerts coming up, so that's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. They're both for Remembrance, so it's going to be quite an emotional weekend, mm-hmm. I think.
So you've got plenty of spare time, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I know. I need to finish that unicorn.
Well, there's orders now flooding in.
Oh.
To wrap up, I always ask, what's a career or job in the creative industry that you know a little about, but I've always been curious about, and why? And that's so that I can potentially go and find someone in that role and have a chat to them. And secondly, a woman in the creative industries that you would love to hear being interviewed on Greater Than 11%.
A job that I'm always curious about is art director within the film industry. Mm-hmm. Because working on set and watching how the whole team work to create this enormous imaginary world is quite amazing. But you need that top person to steer that ship. And I think that's going to be quite an interesting and challenging post. So I'd quite like to hear more about that.
Okay.
And in terms of another female creative that I want to hear more about, I can give you two. So do you remember when we went to see Nicer Tuesdays? Mm-hmm. And at the time there was an exhibition on at the Welcome Gallery called Can Graphic Design Save Your Life? Brilliant title, absolutely loved it. The ladies behind it, so Lucienne Roberts and Rebecca Wright from Graphic Design And.
Okay, cool. See what we can do.
Excellent.
Rina, what a delight to have you on Greater Than 11%. I'm slightly disappointed none of your extreme quirky sense of humour leaked out.
No.
But I had been sitting on the edge of my chair like she's going to hit me at any moment.
No, I don't want this to be an X-rated podcast, you say, so
All right.
Got to tone it down.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed, please write a review on Apple Podcasts, as that helps other people find Greater Than 11%. And also stay subscribed to keep up to date on the weekly releases. This podcast is made possible by the support of Hub, an insight-led content agency based in London. A huge thank you to the producers, Pat Murray and James Haberson, and to Mary Continenza for designing the beautiful artwork.